Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Tom Sharp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service within the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us from IBM is Paul Kayada. So, Tom, would you be able to outline for me, or could you outline for me, the strategic vision of your organization and your key priorities?
Sure. I mean, the key priority in FAS is to do more to help our customer agencies save time and money. That's what we're really, really focused on. So we're very focused on listening to our customers, be sure we understand what they need. And we've developed a vision and an approach to position ourselves for the future to do that. We've developed and we're embracing a concept that's widely embraced in the commercial world, certainly at IBM, which is quite frankly where I learned it. We've taken the procurement spending we manage in support of our customer agencies and broken into 17 categories. We've taken the product service codes, which is how the federal government tracks its procurements, its buying, and mapped it to 17 categories of spending. And what we're going to do with these categories are basically two things. We're going to take these categories and we're creating virtual hallways. So in the first instance, we're going to have and we're working this in concert with OMB, who has embraced these ideas and is going to help take it government-wide. Those hallways will be led by an expert in that category of spending, not necessarily a procurement official, could also be a customer official or someone or folks we hire ideally with deep industry expertise. In any event, and then supported by a team. And what that hallway is going to be about is to create a virtual hallway where any member of the federal acquisition workforce can go within that category spending and get advice, see best practice, see the available enterprise contracts that they might use, and have supporting tools, which we call the Common Acquisition Platform, things like access to prices paid, historical prices paid information, possibly things like automated decision tree logics that can guide them through a path, maybe possibly things like a Turbo FAR, which will walk them through conducting an acquisition to be compliant with the federal acquisition regulations, and other common e-procurement tools that support them. So one place to go. And then what we want to do within FAS is we want, in the first instance, support that for good government, help these agencies get to the right decision, agnostic of where that buying goes. In the second instance, we're obviously very focused on understanding those buying behaviors and positioning FAST to better meet these agencies' needs. So we're all about creating an environment where the buyers can get themselves fully informed and can get advice and see the available procurement vehicles, and that we can support that and then understand it and provide better vehicles out of FAST over time. Primary benefits of this approach will be one place that a buyer can go, or any member of the acquisition workforce, program managers, project managers, the customers of procurement, to get informed. It'll be a place where all the enterprise agreements can sit in one place, and we can deal with the contract duplication head on. It'll be transparent. It'll be out in the light of that hallway, as it were. And we can see, in addition, see the one-off buying behavior, which is typically the most applicative and the most wasteful. And we can try to solve for that with pre-positioned vehicles. And then capture all the data to empower that over time.
So you've described benefits associated with the strategic sourcing program. Could you elaborate a little bit on what value agencies, business partners, and even the American taxpayer might derive from this?
Well, I don't necessarily call it strategic sourcing. Of course, we would have to define our terms. It's one virtual environment for the acquisition community to go to, in the first instance, be informed, right? In the second instance, see the available vehicles, and then, you know, and then for us in FAST to understand all that buying behavior and better support it. So in the first instance, we're agnostic. In the second instance, we want to be sure we're positioning ourselves to best support. The greatest outcome, I believe, is going to be reduction in duplication of contracting. There's terrific duplication of contracting, which I think is not in the taxpayers' interest. I think it takes away from these agencies focusing on their core missions. And I think in the supplier, the vendor community, they're certainly interested in their revenues, but I would dare say they'd rather do it through fewer bid and proposal events, which are very costly, and those costs are obviously passed back to the agencies and thereby the taxpayers.
Tom, you've quoted a saying, to get the benefits of one, we must act as one. And I want to touch on the category management effort that you're leading. Could you tell us more about it, and if you delve into it, and the five key areas you focus on?
Well, I mean, the idea of the category management is to get the benefits of one, I think we have to bring the behavior to one place so we can see it and understand it and have one place where everyone can get informed and educated in the same way. One place where all the enterprise, the available enterprise contracts can sit in one place so everyone can see what's available in one place. There is no repository right now, so we're going to get all that to one place. And then I think from that will be the opportunity to deal with that duplication. Once these vehicles are laid side by side, we can then compare and contrast them, and we'll get that help from the acquisition community that comes down that hallway to say, you know, what are the pros and cons of these vehicles and develop a point of view. All things being equal, we think this is a better vehicle. The desired outcomes of the hallways would be fewer transactions, right? Reduce duplication of contracting, the fastest FAR compliant approach we can come up with, better value, and in the instance of commodities, better prices, but not failing to recognize the other attributes of value, and the highest level of socioeconomic participation we can possibly get for that category would be desired outcomes.
If the federal government wants to buy smarter, like the most efficient of agencies, GSA recognizes that its digital delivery services need to be at the very best. To that end, could you tell us a little bit more about the Common Acquisition Platform, or CAP? How does it represent the intersection of technology and strategy that you're describing? And what are the benefits for that with category management?
Well, the benefits for category management, the idea of the Common Acquisition Platform is to support this concept of category management. So CAP is the IT strategy and platform that allows us to deliver the benefits, intelligence, expertise, and lessons learned from things we've learned historically, like the Federal Sourcing, Strategic Sourcing Initiative. To be smarter buyers on behalf of the taxpayers, we want to see the buying behavior in one place and nudge it toward better answers tomorrow than today. So CAP will guide data-driven procurement actions. So we want data transparency, access to existing contract solutions from across government. We'll be able to see trends in market analysis. Like I mentioned, prices paid information. We'd like to build decision support tools that enable smarter spending and improve requirements leading to better outcomes. The common acquisition, the acquisition gateway is what we're calling it, and the hallways are the first visible element of CAP. CAP will eventually be more than the hallways. CAP will be a comprehensive strategy to transform acquisition workflow and data flow in government. It starts with the hallways we're talking about here this morning. It's going to be supported by analytics as a service to move us toward possibly a turbo FAR, all supported by shared acquisition services like a common catalog. We can talk about the effort to get the one catalog. GSA has GSA Advantage. We're partnering with the Defense Logistics Agency and their DoD eMall to come up with FedMall. And we aspire to get to one contract writing system. There's many contract writing systems right now across government.
So you've talked about the concept of hallways. Could you elaborate a little bit about how this execution may provide some continuously improved acquisitions?
I would say this, through these category hallways, and again, GSA is going to stand up 17. We're partnered with Office of Federal Procurement Policy. I think we may eventually do 10 government-wide. We're going to support those on the CAP platform. We will participate with OMB as they appoint leaders of the hallways. There'll be hallways led by other than GSA. And again, I see the benefit of the hallways in the first instance, one place for the acquisition community to go to get informed, and we can see all the buying behavior and agnostic, good government, right, good procurement to support good government. And then FAST, as America's buyer, we're going to do our part to have the best solutions in those hallways. So we think desired outcomes of having all this activity in one place as the federal buyers navigate each hallway and the universe of purchasing options available to them, we think over time we'll see better requirements development. We'll see increased speed in the acquisition process, reduced price variability, which is very important, and ultimately smarter purchases. The hallways are going to provide a single location for market research, information, connecting with colleagues. We hope to have social media where the acquisition workforce can talk to each other. They really don't have that today. They'll be able to get expertise and the ability to complete data-driven acquisitions confidently and efficiently. The hallways are designed to capture the expertise of users, category managers, and industry experts over time, becoming a more powerful tool as we proceed and add content and data is populated over time.
So, Tom, what are you doing to expand and customize support and resources to better serve your customers? And would you elaborate on how you're seeking to increase traditional AAS business volume, enterprise contracting services, and various other added value type services?
Well, we're very focused, in my view, to provide whatever procurement support a customer needs. We've got some traditional approaches we want to build out, and we want to be open to new approaches. And I want to be in a position where I can do any procurement a customer needs done, any type of support. So we're very focused on increasing a traditional business line we've had, which we called Assisted Acquisition Services. Folks know it as AAS or FedSim. We're very open to growing that. That's primarily complex IT contracting. That's typically on an episodic basis, meaning a five-year cycle, a one-year base with 4 one-year options. And often customers don't maintain a bench to be able to do that type of procurement because it's episodic. We want to be there to support that. We also want to be there to provide any type of support, whether a customer is interested in a smaller purchase that doesn't meet the traditional clip levels for AAS, whether it's a smaller acquisition where a customer might desire support even with contract closeouts or with their small purchases. We want to be there to do that. And I've had some customers express interest in what I would call full outsourcing, where they're interested in whole or in part taking their traditional procurement shop and have us support it in whole or in part. I want to be there to do that. The answer is I want to do whatever the customer needs done, and we're calling those value-added services. We're going to be formalizing some of these offerings with customer insights over time. But if they have a procurement need, we want to be there to support it.
So, Tom, I'm interested. Many of GSA's business models date back decades. Would you tell us about your efforts to revitalize them, making them more responsive to the changing needs of customers and the realities of a dynamic market? For example, what I mean by this is, what specifically are you doing to modernize the multiple award schedule program?
Yeah, let's talk about the multiple award schedule, better known as MAS. It has been around for about six decades. We did over $30 billion of business volume through it. It's probably one of the biggest purchasing, if not one of the biggest purchasing program on the planet. We're doing a lot to improve the multiple award schedule. The multiple awards, and it was interesting, we recently got customer survey results, particularly on MAS, and the results were interesting. That we found that we found validation that customers come to MAS because it's fast and it's convenient. And in fact, I could demonstrate that the use of MAS compared to an open market order is up to 50% faster. So we got validation it's fast and it's convenient. We also got validation that it's an ease to FAR compliance. It's an ease to complying with the federal acquisition regulations, which is important. Where we found we have need to improve is on price. And we found, if you're familiar with how MAS works, for the most part, customers are to compete their orders at the order level and seek discounts, and I support that. But we found interesting data. We found in all instances that the buyers were not getting the discounts and seeking competition, getting the discounts at the level we would like to see. So what are we doing? The message in that to me is we always want to be faster. So we're focused on being faster in terms of how we, at the schedule level, receive offers and process modification. We're very focused on that. But we have to do something to improve on pricing and price variability. So here's what we're going to do. So at the schedule level, folks who are familiar with it, we price it vertically. We approach a vendor and we have them represent for a quantity of zero at the schedule level. Give us your most favorite customer price, and we benchmark that to something like a catalog so we can track it. So if the catalog price goes down, it gets passed to the schedule level. And we do that at scale. We have approximately 20,000 suppliers. What we want to do at the schedule level, and folks refer to as price variability, we're developing standard part numbers. We're going to get the standard part numbers. So at the schedule level, we can decide as a matter of procurement policy how big a variability in price makes sense at the schedule level. How big a supply pool do we need? And let's make that pool more competitive. So we're developing standard part numbers, and we're going to start putting some horizontal pressure on how we price the schedule. That's at the schedule level. So we want to have a very competitive pool, less price variability at the schedule level, supported by standard part numbers and horizontal comparisons of prices. The idea being, at certain prices, it's not in the government's interest to have them in the pool, and certainly not in the supplier's interest, because there won't be business. Then at the order level, we want to support the orders with prices paid data. Mm-hmm. So we want to create in the hallway, right? So if someone wants to compete an order under the schedules, they're going to have a more competitive pool price-wise. And then with the order level, they're going to be supported with historical prices paid data. And that prices paid data will include the other value attributes. So it'll include the volumes, the date, and other demographics. In any event, the buyer will be informed when they want to compete their order and negotiate their order. They'll have the insights of what price has been paid in the past, and the buyer will have the ability to understand how to best use that data to get better prices at the order level. And throughout all this, we want to track all this buying behavior so we can see all this, all these demographics and buying patterns and prices and further improve the process. That's where we're headed on mass. So it's fast, it's an ease to FAR compliance, and we're going to improve the prices.
So as a follow-up, how do other projects like Network Services 2020, Total Workplace, Supply Chain Transformation factor into your business model modernization?
Well, Networks 2020 is the large network support that's pre-positioned contracts on behalf of agencies. Very complex, but the benefits of that is to go ahead and do that contracting in one place and then support the customers as they compete their task orders for their agency needs. You mentioned Total Workplace. Total Workplace is how we in FAS are playing our role to support agencies as they get to a smaller real estate footprint. So where they're going to go from a traditional old-fashioned office environment and try to get to a smaller footprint, 150 square feet per person or less, and they don't have the money to go ahead and do that move and buy that furniture, we can go ahead and give them that furniture. We can amortize that furniture and lease it to them over time and take away that obstacle to them moving to a smaller footprint, which will save them money that they can redeploy from real estate expense to core mission.
How is FAST changing the way government does business? We will ask Tom Sharp, Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service within the U.S. General Services Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.